The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25th Chapter, Text Number 1, given by His Divine Grace Satswarup Das Goswami Gurupad on January 18, 1982, in Vancouver.
Sri Shanaka said, although he is unborn, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took birth as Kapila Muni. By his internal potency, he descended to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the benefit of the whole human race. Purport. The word Atma Pragyaptaye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one's knowledge expands. On the platform of passion, there is no knowledge, for passion is simply an impetus to enjoy material benefits. On the platform of ignorance, there is no knowledge and no enjoyment, but simply life almost like that of animals. The Vedas are meant to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the platform of goodness. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he is able to understand knowledge of the self or transcendental knowledge. This knowledge cannot be appreciated by any ordinary man. Therefore, since a disciplic succession is required, this knowledge is expounded either by the personality of Godhead himself or by his bona fide devotee. Shanaka Muni also states here that Kapila, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, took birth or appeared simply to appreciate and disseminate transcendental knowledge. Simply to understand that one is not matter but spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, I am by nature Brahman, is not sufficient knowledge for understanding the self and his activities. One must be situated in the activities of Brahman. Knowledge of those activities is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Such transcendental knowledge can be appreciated in human society, but not in animal society, as clearly indicated here by the word nirnam for the human beings. Human beings are meant for regulated life. By nature, there is regulation in animal life also, but that is not like the regulative life as described in the scriptures or by the authorities. Human life is regulated life, not animal life. In regulated life only can one understand transcendental knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desatarane. So I've chosen to begin the chapter of Lord Kapila's teachings of devotional service. In this first verse, Shanaka, who is describing this to the sages at Nameshwaranya, briefly tells us why Lord Kapila descended. And that was to teach transcendental knowledge, Atma Pragyaptaye Nirnam, to the human beings. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes how human being has to be qualified to receive transcendental knowledge. Within the Vedas, there are prescriptions and methods whereby the human beings can get their material desires also and still stay within the bounds of human regulated life. Or in other words, they can get their material desires and not disobey God. And this is what most people are interested in when it comes to religion. They want sense gratification, first of all, But there's some pious desire to get that sense gratification in a regulated way. Even in ordinary life, most citizens, they want sense gratification, like the criminals also. But the good citizens, they know that it will be very troublesome if they act in illegal ways. They'll be put in prison. Their reputation will be ruined. And some even understand that there'll be bad psychological effects if they take from others and steal, and that the morality will not make for a peaceful life of sense gratification. So this is foremost material desire, but then some religious idea. And sometimes they also understand that if they act properly for sense gratification in this life, then the next life they'll also get a good material situation, a better birth. So, how to have sex life, how to be healthy, how to be wealthy, how to have knowledge. Within the codes of religion, this is taught in the Vedas, but it does not say here that Kapila came to teach that. He came to teach beyond material religion or religiosity, but to teach transcendental knowledge. However, if most people are interested in sense gratification, then how will they hear about Kapila? Nowadays, they are not interested in religion at all. There's no need to be bound up by religion. There's no need, they say, to have sex life within religious idea, because they think religion is mythology, something that has been disproved by science. Or if they profess religion, they actually don't follow. Because unless there is leadership and example, why should you follow? Yad acharati shrestas tattarivetarojana. Whatever a great man does, others will follow. And whatever standards he sets, all the world will follow. So the great men in every field, and in the spiritual field also, they're not giving good example. And they do not even have knowledge of what is the goal. So we cannot blame the victimized people of this age, but more the leaders. So there has to be a good field for teaching transcendental knowledge. And according to Srila Prabhupada here, that is the mode of goodness. Because an ordinary man, he cannot understand this knowledge. And the teacher, he has to be also certainly not in the modes of material nature of passion or ignorance, and he cannot even be simply in the mode of goodness. He has to have absolute knowledge beyond the mode of goodness. So the person who has that preeminently is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everyone has come. So he is the teacher in his different incarnations to teach transcendental knowledge. It is just like the king who comes to the prison house. When Krishna comes, he is not one of the prisoners, but he comes to make some reform, the king. So similarly, Krishna comes within this prison existence, which exists because there are wrongdoers. But Krishna tries to elevate people, human beings, that is, with transcendental knowledge. So one question we can ask is, well, if they're in prison, and yet you say that they require to be in goodness to understand this message, then what? How will they understand this message? And if you say that we are at a specially bad time, spiritually, that is a fact. Prayana alpaya sarasabhya kalavasmin yugejana manda samanda matayo manda vibhagyavi upadutta. The present age is bad and slow for spiritual life. Very bad. The people are killing each other like anything, and there's immorality is the norm. Spirituality is mostly gone. So then how is it possible that this knowledge, which requires a person to be not like an animal or passionate, but to be very good, how is it possible that he can understand Lord Kapila Bhakti Yoga? Of course, that is not specifically described in this purport. Prabhupada does, however, say that if a human being is going to get this knowledge, he has to lead a regulated life. The specific program for people of this age is that given by Lord Chaitanya. That is why we are worshipping particularly Lord Chaitanya. Because, well, many reasons. He is Krishna himself, but he is teaching the Yuga Dharma. That is the main thing. We follow Lord Chaitanya because it is prescribed religion for this age. Kalo Tadhari Kirtana. In the age of Kali, the religion is to chant the holy name. Harinam, 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 Yuga Kevalam, Kalo Nasti, Vanasti, Vanasti, Vidagaranyata. There is no other program. So that is enough reason. But beyond that, it is so suitable for this age because it takes into account that people are like animals in this age and are very manda samanda matayo, very slow, very lazy, and very bad. We were talking last night how memory has deteriorated. And not only memory has deteriorated, life duration has deteriorated. There's not even enough time to make spiritual progress. It takes time. But who has even time to live? Later in Kali Yuga, to be 35 years old, be considered an old man. And there is no education from youth, for people in general, outside of this Krishna conscious society, to train up as brahmachari. So if by chance, or rather by the mercy of the Vaishnavas who are traveling all over the earth, a person gets in contact with Krishna, but if he has spoiled his brain in so many ways, spoiled his energy, and he has only little time to live, it's very difficult. So it is a bad age, and also there's a very good chance that he has already become contaminated in the worst way by hearing Mayavadi philosophy and hearing some cheater in the name of meditation or something like that. And he has an impersonal idea of the Absolute. And then it's very hard to instruct about devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To someone who has this mixed idea that everything is equally good, because ultimately we are all God. And what to speak of being unregulated, so many disadvantages. Therefore we must speak of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because there is no other way. He delivered the Dharma and he delivered it in such a way that even Jaghai and Madhai can be saved. Jaghai and Madhai, they were actually qualified, these two rogues that Lord Chaitanya found. When he found them, they were drunkards, woman hunters, thieves of all kinds. There was no sin that they hadn't committed. But at least they were born in Bharatvarsha, in India. They were Brahmins' sons. So they had some advantages, but they had ruined all that. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they saved them by distributing the mercy of the holy name. Now we have to glorify and consider the preacher who preaches under such circumstances as these. All the bad circumstances we just described of most people. Who wants to preach in such a field? So sometimes they don't preach. And think, well, I have no such power. These people are too fallen, and they can go to hell. Because when you go to preach to such Jaghais and Madhais, they become angry. They don't want to hear. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, they demonstrated in the case of Jaghai and Madhai their determination, their fearlessness. Please take the holy name. Lord Nityananda was hit on the head, he was bleeding. And he said, "That's all right that you've hurt me. Now I again request you, please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." So by his mercy, and also by the transcendental anger of Lord Chaitanya, these two rascals were frightened and subdued, and finally moved, and they took shelter at the feet of Gaur Nitai. So even Jaghai and Madhai have been saved by this chanting of Hare Krishna. So that is like the present situation. Little Jaghais and Madhais everywhere. So if one requires to be in goodness and regulated, then he cannot remain Jaghai and Madhai. When a person realizes that his material life is causing him suffering, if he gets some good fear of his situation, that, oh, my life has become horrible and wasted, I do not know what is coming, I've ruined all my good qualities. And if somehow he gets to associate with devotees, the representatives of Lord Chaitanya, then he may aspire for their mercy and to become on the platform of goodness and transcendental platform. So that was Jaghai and Madhai. And when Lord Chaitanya gave them the holy name, he said, "Now don't do this anymore." Although the benediction was completely lenient to them, although they were sinful, they were getting all the mercy. But he did say, "Now you can't continue to do these sinful activities." They were in a position of actually sincerely surrendering. "Please, Lords, tell us what to do. We are very sorry for what we have done. We see your mercy and we are moved. Now we want to surrender." "Yes, it doesn't matter what you've done. Just chant Hare Krishna. But no more nonsense. No more sinful life." And they, Jaghai and Madhai, they agreed to that. Then that's regulated life. This is the power of the Vaishnava. And this is the meaning of surrender. Otherwise, it has no meaning. If you feel sorry for your sinful activities, if you see that the mercy is present from Lord Chaitanya, but you don't agree to stop sinful activities, then your chanting of Hare Krishna will be offensive and ineffectual. That is called the worst offense in the chanting of the holy name, to commit sins on the strength of chanting. But if you can avoid that, if you can be regulated, then it doesn't matter that this is a bad age. It doesn't matter that we're not in goodness, we're in ignorance and passion. You can go immediately from the ignorance to transcendental without any local stops. Just as in a skyscraper building, there are so many floors. But you're not expected to walk up 100 floors by stairway. You can take the elevator, and immediately, by express, you're at the top. So bhakti yoga is like that. Or Srila Prabhupada once compared it to a man is pedaling a bicycle, 20 miles an hour. But if he can catch on to the back of a truck or some vehicle, then he can go very fast. That's a dangerous game. But the idea is that he will speed beyond what he could ever possibly do himself, catching on to the speed of the truck. So the speed here in spiritual advancement is this Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan Jagya. Purification is fast. Advancement is fast. But you have to hang on. Catch a hold. But then it is easy. Vedesu dulabham adulabham atma bhakta. Understanding Krishna is very, very difficult. Because they try by so many methods and they can't understand Krishna. They can't overcome all the desires and control the senses. It's the most difficult thing. There are so many snares. Even when you think you've made advancement, then there's another snare. But that difficult thing becomes easy if you take this merciful process. Accept the Shastra, accept the spiritual master, accept the Vaishnava's mercy, and follow. The goal is Krishna, as described here. This is Bhagavan coming to teach. So either Bhagavan comes himself, or the devotee of the Lord comes. By bhakti yoga, we have to finally understand who is Krishna. Prabhupada states here that it's not enough to just know that there is Brahman. You have to be in the activities of Brahman to actually know it. You have to. The activities of Brahman are serving Krishna, devotional service. So in the beginning, that's called Sambandha. You hear about Bhagavan, that there is God. Everything is coming from the Supreme Being, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is all-powerful. He is unborn. Advaitam Achutam Anari Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Then you have to become awakened that there is the Supreme Being. But then to really know Him, you have to take up activities in His service. This is what it means here, that one must be situated in the activities of Brahman. You may say, I am not this body. I am Brahman. I am eternal spirit. But just to say that is not enough. What are your activities as eternal spirit? If you're an eternal spirit, then what are your activities? You may say you're a Canadian. Then do you have any activities as a citizen of this country? If you have no activities, then how can you actually be Canadian? You have to have some life or business or residence here, some kind of goings on, because if you're a good citizen, you're interested in government affairs or civic affairs and you vote. You have to have some activities. If you say that I'm a married man, then you have to have a relationship with your wife and domestic activities. You have to support the family. Not just that you say, Vimukta Manina, I am liberated, I am the spirit. But we have to have Brahman activities. And the only Brahman activities are service to the Supreme Brahman, thus devotional service, starting with chanting and hearing. So Lord Kapila came, according to this statement, to teach transcendental knowledge, devotional service, to the human beings. He wanted to spread it. He or his representatives are the only one who can give us this knowledge from outside this material world. And the only human being, the only persons who can receive it are human beings who are willing to take to regulated life and come up to goodness. And even if in this age the Lord comes and finds them all in passion and ignorance, by the Sankirtan process they can be lifted up. But by their own free will, they have to agree to these principles. Of course, that is the responsibility of the spiritual master. He has to direct, inspire, guide, and lift them up. But if they don't want to be lifted up, then he cannot do it. Even Lord Krishna, when he came, those who did not want to be saved, because they have free will, they have the same quality as Krishna, he cannot save them. And sometimes the devotees, seeing this anxiety of the Lord, they become even more compassionate than the Lord, and they break all previous restrictions and etiquette to go and get people and get them to take Krishna consciousness. And they think of new ways. That's what Srila Prabhupada did to introduce Krishna consciousness all over the world. And sometimes even they, who they are described by the Lord's will as more merciful than Krishna, they also cannot save all the fallen souls. If they are determined to avoid the mercy of Krishna. But why? Who should be so crazy or foolish as to avoid the mercy of Krishna? For what? What do you have instead that is better? Just some hallucination of sense gratification based on this body, which is not a wonderful thing, that we all know. That is an illusion to think that the woman's body is beautiful, shapely, the man's body is strong and beautiful, I will be happy with this woman, I'll be happy with this man, or in this house. That these are illusions. That actually there is a flickering amount of happiness, but there's so much unhappiness because this body is filled with so many liquids and secretions and nerves and functions that can be easily disrupted, and then there's difficulty, and also in the mind. You cannot make it happy. It's meant for a lot of unhappiness, and it's meant for death. And similarly, the house, the arrangement, cannot bring you happiness because you're a self, a spirit soul. So the Vedas give a program to regulate, minimize those things that we want materially, not become so caught up by them, and prosecute this knowledge given by the Lord Kapila or others, Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, it's cooperation. The spiritual master is there, but the disciple has to be accept. He has to be disciplined. So it is such a pure and honest relationship. No one should enter it if he doesn't have intentions of following it. If you don't need a spiritual master, that's a different thing. Then do not enter such a relationship. If you want material life, then you don't need a guru for that. There's no need. And a spiritual master, he should also not think that he needs disciples who don't do what they're supposed to. What is the need to have such disciples? He will simply drag himself down. Therefore, Jiva Goswami is that don't take many disciples. But still they take disciples. We are not animals, we are nirnam, we are human beings. Let us take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, become regulated truthful and use this life for going back to Godhead. Very good.